behind them. 10 from 10.
These frail boats that line the ship.
She pointed to the 5-oared whaleboats on either side of the vessel.
They go in the wildest white water and chase the Leviathan. You hear me, heathen? Thou must look the whale in his age-old eye and grin in his jaws. Drive the iron trough to the deeps of his soul and follow as he trails across the ocean. The whale can be 100 feet in length and crush a boat with a waltzing catch of his tail. Blood laid over the seas, outlanders. 10 from 10 against a door. This will be no sport.
Ryan stared down the stocky, muscular woman.
Why not have me chilled? Easier than this.
Cheaper as well. Why art thou here, outlander? Because thou didst strike at me by chilling that mindless fool Clegg. He was of use. I found times to use him.
To Ryan's disgust, the woman hiked her skirts up with her right hand, showing pallid, muscled thighs, showing as well that she wore no underwear. She rubbed her fingers into the tangled mat of curling hair, licking her lips greedily as she watched Ryan's face.
Aye, thou seest what I mean. I used him well, and he never failed to rise to me. No man fails me, outlander. Or he's hauled from bow to stern, and the barnacles rip him to salted pork.
You stinking murderous slut.
Ryan took a half step toward her. Instantly, the tunnel mouth of her 44 Astra appeared in the air between them.
I stink because I don't bother washing. I murder because it gives me power and pleasure. And the other... That thou canst find out when I need to use thee, Ryan Carter.
Never.
We sail for many a month. Never is a flensing long time, Cully. Don't say never.
I'll never.
Don't, Ryan.
Pagan's right, outlander. Open thy mouth to me without being told, and thou couldst lose thy tongue.
She stepped in close and reached out with her free hand to pinch his cheek hard.
I have the power, the total power, on this ship, Ryan Carter.
It was a close call whether he broke her neck with a single chopping blow of the side of his hand and died within moments of her, or stood still, hands clenched, and took the pain and the humiliation from her. Pyrrha Quad hadn't lived as long as she had by making wrong judgments. She smiled at him and continued pinching, her breath coming faster.
Oh, this is good, outlander. Thou art not a weak piece of deck rag like so many of the others have been. Thou wouldst sore like to kill me, and thou canst not. Life is worth keeping, isn't it, Ryan Carter? Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, ma'am, it is.
Ryan could feel a warm trickle of blood on his cheek where her ragged nails had punctured his skin.
Yeah, ma'am, it is.
Good.
She closed her eyes a moment and swallowed hard, calming her obscene pleasure at his pain.
You want us to work?
Donfa was talking to Pyrrha Quad, but his eyes were watching Ryan, trying to read if his friend was about to discard both their lives by attacking the woman.
Yes, heathen. Thou canst go below and get sea boots. Watch thy pagan head on the low beams. You can both go in the whaleboat to the first mate, named Cyrus Ogg.
Ogg?
Ryan tried to ignore the throbbing pain in his cheek.
Want thy backbone to twinkle at the noon sun, outlander? If not, no jests about Cyrus and his name. Kinda touchy he is.
Am I a harpooner?
Thou gettest a 15th lay on the Salvation, oil, meat, bone, and ambergris, and thou dost question whether thou art harpooner? Fins over! I thought thee not a fool. Thou shalt be lead with the irons, and Ryan Carter shall be a plain oarsman.
She pointed toward the bow, where a hatch framed a square of darkness and the top of a flight of stairs going below decks. Donphil led the way. It wasn't until Ryan was out of sight of Piraquad that he touched the livid pain of his torn cheek. He wasn't about to give her more pleasure by letting her know how much she'd hurt him. Christy and the others were still locked in their attic bedroom, sweltering below the tiles of the roof of the inn. There were sec men all around, inside and out, and they'd see no glimmer of a chance of escape. JB was constantly on the move, restless at his inability to do anything, staring out toward the quay and the harbor beyond.
Must have sailed with him by first light. Offshore wind, and they're probably close on 100 miles to sea by now.
Jack was lying on his bed, with his arm thrown across his eyes.
Think he's still alive?
Ryan? Probably. Bitch will use Donville. 10 from 10 with a spear. She'll know about that. Ryan, she wanted him dead, then that's what he'd be by now.
We got a chance?
While we live, we have hope, my dearest child.
Christy couldn't speak. She fell too close to choking on hopeless tears. The Salvation was a typical whaling ship. If the skipper from Victorian times had been time-trawled along with Doc Tenner and dumped aboard her, he'd have felt completely at home. She was 120 feet long and just under 30 feet wide. The crew comprised 32 officers and men. Piraquad had her cabin in the stern, beneath the afterhouse that held the ship's wheel. The two mates had their own tiny cabins under the midship shelter. Everyone else messed together in the forecastle, in the rounded bow of the vessel. The Salvation shipped 3 masts. From the bow, they were the fore, main, and mizzen. She carried 4 whaleboats, each 30 feet long, slung on davits, 2 to a side. A few paces forward of the mainmast was the tryworks, the ovens that would render the flesh of the whales, providing the clear, valuable oil that would be stored in the hundreds of barrels that rested in the depths of the hold. The only large space in the hold of the whaler was the blubber room. It ran more than 2/3 the length of the ship and was where the busiest and bloodiest work of the long cruise would take place. The carcasses of the slaughtered creatures would be hauled alongside and tied there. Men would scramble down onto them, using long-handled knives to strip away great chunks of blubber. This was heaved aboard and cut up in the open space to be boiled down in the brick and iron oven. One of the sailors pointed out to Ryan during that first afternoon that the Salvation was bark-rigged. This meant that the stern mast, the mizzen, carried a fore and aft sail rather than being fully rigged like a normal sailing schooner, enabling the actual running of the vessel to be worked by fewer men. That left as many sailors as possible to man the fragile whaleboats once the prey was sighted. To the surprise of both Ryan and Donphil, the crew seemed to accept them on board without any obvious hostility. It became clear that Clegg hadn't been the most popular of mates, too ready with his fists. Most of the men were happy to show them around, telling them what their duties would be in such and such a situation. But any attempts to press them about their